What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Preds back on the ice tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning, a shell of their former selves from last year. Losers of three straight there in Bridgestone Arena this evening. Who will be the starter at goaltender? And, of course, will Kyle Turris play? Those are the things that matter. We'll see that game coming up again. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. We will talk. We got Top 4 Tuesday coming up in just a few minutes, so we'll get into what we expect from the college football rankings, SEC coaching openings as well, all across the league right now with three jobs open. I'm not sure we anticipated that, so we'll get into that a little bit. But a couple of final notes here on the NFL as we wrap up Week 13. I'm just interested, as Seattle wins last night, they move to 10-2, which means the San Francisco 49ers at 10-2 now are the fifth seed.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
That's insane. But looking at the AFC, with Houston's win over New England at 8-4, you got the Chiefs sort of reestablishing balance of power in the West, going to 8-4, beating the Oakland Raiders. The Titans are obviously tied with the Steelers. The Ravens feel like the best team in the AFC. Does anybody have a problem with that?
They are the best team in the AFC.
So what do the New England Patriots look like in a couple of weeks? Is this the team that is legitimately trending towards losing the division to the Buffalo Bills and maybe having to play on the road as a wild card? Or do we think the Patriots maintain what they've done all season?
It's hard to bet against New England. It really is.
It just doesn't sound right to say the Buffalo Bills will win the division.
But if you look at the way New England has been playing offensively, and I know they scored 22 points, you know, but those touchdowns, Houston had that game in hand. I don't think there was right. Houston was never worried about losing that game. They got the Chiefs. They got the Bengals, which they should blow out. The Bills, and then the Dolphins are playing really well now.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's happening down there.
The Dolphins are playing pretty good.
If you're an Eagles fan, you got to be just furious.
Yeah, it's just like, seriously? But the good part about it is that they got Buffalo and Miami at home, and they got the Chiefs at home, meaning New England. So when we say, is New England done, they probably still end up finishing, you know, 14-2, 13-3. I don't think they're going to split, you know, lose two and win two. I think if they do lose a game, it's going to be to Buffalo. And that still wins them the division if they lose to Buffalo, one game to Buffalo. But I'm just not going to count.
Right.
I'm not going to count New England out. Now, are they the best team in the AFC? No, they're not the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC, and I don't. They might be the best team in the NFL right now after the way they've beaten,
yeah.
And how they've beaten them. They've beaten New England. They've beaten San Francisco. Baltimore trending upward. Lamar Jackson, that running game, the Greg Roman scheme, all that stuff is fascinating to watch, and I think it makes them number one. But you look around the AFC now, and this team lost by one score to Buffalo with Mariota as the quarterback. That game would be very different today. Mm-hmm. They beat the Chiefs in the division. They've got two with the Texans to prove themselves. They've beaten the Browns, who are chasing down the wild card. The Raiders are on the schedule coming up this week, so we'll find out about that. Right now, if they played the Steelers, I know the Steelers have had their number over the years, but that is not the same Pittsburgh Steelers team. No Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown. I think the Titans are the better team right now than the Steelers. I would take the Titans straight up against the Steelers right now. I might take them straight up against the Patriots right now. The way New England's playing offense, I might take the Titans. Titans smoked them last year with Mariota. I'm just looking around the AFC going, like, there's not a team outside of Baltimore. Baltimore is terrifying. Mm-hmm. They are terrifying. They should be terrifying. You should be concerned about how you're going to stop their offense. But outside of Baltimore, there's not a game for the Tennessee Titans that I look at and I think they're not going to be in that game. I think they could be in every single game if they had to play on the road against Buffalo, on the road against New England, on the, you know, Kansas City. I think they can win a lot of those games. Meaning there's not a matchup that scares me right now. The way the Tennessee Titans are playing offense right now?
I don't think they would beat New England. I just don't. In New England, I don't think they would beat
them
in the playoffs because of the way New England defense
plays.
What about
here?
I think they have a better shot at winning here. I still would pick New England, but I think in the playoff series, in a playoff scenario, I'm picking New England no matter where they play.
I'm fine. I agree with you.
But I think they have a better shot at beating them here.
What if Buffalo wins? New England. Buffalo wins the division. The Titans win the division. Wild card Patriots will be coming here.
Yeah, the Patriots would be coming here, but then that would mean that the Titans beat Houston twice, because that's what they would have to do, beat Houston twice to win this division. They can't split with them. If both teams continue to win, then they would have to beat Houston twice in order to win a division. And it can happen, but the probability of that happening, the way that Sean Watson and that team is playing right now, probably not. I say they win one here and then lose in Houston.
I mean, odds are this team goes 2-2. Yeah. Odds are they beat the Raiders and they split with the Texans and they lose to the Saints. Yeah. So, that's the odds
but in theory, yes.
Which makes you 9-7
in theory,
again.
Because of the way they play football, they don't rely heavy on the pass, so they can play in any weather. Their defense is pretty good. What is going to be their Achilles heel is their pass defense. So if they're playing New England, they better hope it's storming or it's really cold and it's snowing. That doesn't allow New England to get into the passing game the way they want to. And I don't think they can run the football on the Titans.
And that probably is true. I find myself looking around the AFC, and if I'm a Titans fan, I'm not really scared of any potential matchup. It doesn't mean they're going to win all of them. Of course, the Patriots could win a game in the playoffs. Of course, that's a ridiculously hard thing to do, is go to New England and win. But if New England is trending the way they're trending and they don't win the division, going to Buffalo for whatever reason, I know Buffalo's got a great defense, but this team matches up well with them. And what's really weird is the last 2 years against that Buffalo team, everybody looked at the Titans and said, oh, they played terribly in those games. Obviously, the offense didn't produce a lot of points, but they had the Bills beat last year. If Nick Williams just catches a pass, and they were down by, and they lost 14-7 this year to Buffalo, that now you have a different quarterback and a different offense. What? So they've been very close to Buffalo. That matchup doesn't scare me. The Steelers don't scare me right now with the way Devlin Hodges doesn't scare me. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten the Colts. They've beaten the Browns. They got to play the Raiders. If they win that game, they will have beaten them. There's just, I look at the balance of power in the AFC, and it feels so different today than it did 6 weeks ago.
Well, here's the problem. The Titans secondary is shot. And if they play a healthy Indianapolis in the playoffs, I believe because they're secondary, it would be so much pressure put on their secondary.
Indianapolis.
If somehow both of them got in the playoffs.
Because
it can happen, but the likelihood of it happening is slim. I don't think they beat a healthy. With the way that their secondary is now, they don't beat a healthy Indianapolis team. The way that their secondary is now, I don't think they beat Buffalo, because Buffalo's defense is just as good as theirs. But because
John Brown is having a really big year.
But Titans have injuries in the secondary. Now, if Malcolm Butler was back there and everybody, I would pick the Titans.
What if I tell you Sims and Jackson are back healthy and it's just Butler that's missing?
I still think it puts a lot of pressure on them.
Well, sure, but
if they have to play Buffalo in Buffalo, I'm picking Buffalo. If they had to play them at home, which wouldn't be likely, but if they had to play Buffalo in Buffalo, I'm picking Buffalo because of the injuries in the secondary.
What about a road playoff game in Houston? The third meeting.
They wouldn't beat
the
Houston.
The third meeting in whatever it would be, 4 weeks.
They wouldn't beat Houston. Again, that
playoff game might actually be the more concerning one.
It would be a bend, not break. And with Deshaun Watson, you can't play that way. You can't play the bend, not break. New England tried to play that. Yeah. You just can't play it with that guy. Some guys, you can play the bend, don't break sort of defense.
They did with the Chiefs.
Yeah. You can't play it because Mahomes don't look to run. He's going to try to pick you apart in the passing game. With Deshaun Watson. Which he did. With Deshaun Watson, you can't do that because he will tuck it and run.
Or catch a touchdown pass.
Exactly, or catch a touchdown pass, whichever one.
What a crazy, and they awesome can't play
do
that was.
They can't do that against Baltimore. You can't play the bend, not break, because Jackson will run all over you.
But if we're talking about the Titans in a playoff scenario, that means they will have played really well down the stretch.
That means
they will have beaten Houston at least once, if not twice. Uh-huh. So we're assuming a lot of things about the playoff matchups. I just look at the AFC, and we all thought the NFC was the better conference coming into this, and we've seen it play out with Seattle, 49ers, Minnesota, Green Bay. I mean, there's a lot of New Orleans. There are a lot of elite level Super Bowl caliber teams. Mm-hmm. I don't look at the AFC anymore and see a lot of elite level Super Bowl caliber teams. Kansas City's not as good as I thought they were this year. New England is not as good as their record was indicated when they started the season, whatever it was, 8-0. The Steelers are a shell of their former selves. Mm-hmm. There is an opening right now in the AFC, and Baltimore is jumping through the door. And so the Titans are playing as well as anybody. 30 points a game, 5-1. I just think if you're a Titans fan, you're looking at these matchups and you're going, that one doesn't scare me, that one doesn't scare me. I mean, I'm talking about a game where you go in and you go, we have no chance. And other than Baltimore, I don't think there's a team that I would go into that game thinking, nope, Titans have no chance. I think they've got a chance against any of these teams.
And you're right.
If they make it there.
I'm telling you, but just watch out for Pittsburgh, because
you scared of Devlin Hodges.
It's not that because what they do well is play defense. They are the fifth, the sixth ranked team in giving up points. The Titans are right below them, so it would be this back and forth with their defense. And the only reason I sort of kinda give Pittsburgh the nod is because they've been there. Mike Tomlin,
well, that's
been
true.
There.
That's true.
And
nope,
if they have to play in Pittsburgh, then I'm picking Pittsburgh by three. If they have to play here, I'm picking the Titans by three.
Well, the only way it can happen is Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee wins the division. Pittsburgh comes here as a wild card, and even then, I think that's highly unlikely. It's more likely the Bills or the Patriots would come here as a wild card. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame shows. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 11 to 1 p.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Oakland Raiders in a huge game. Also, the NFL pregame show brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Also, I would not be surprised if the Titans go 0-4 down the stretch, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went 3-1. Like, there's just every single possibility feels like it's in play for the Tennessee Titans. And a win over the Colts, all that did, aside from remove some mental instability and some mental blockage there against an organization that has owned you, all it does is keep you alive for the next week. Every week they've got to earn their way to another meaningful football game, and right now they're doing it. So we'll see what happens coming up next week. College football playoff rankings, it is a Tuesday. In fact, it is our last Tuesday of the year. Well, we'll get college football playoff rankings tonight. I don't imagine any surprises, but we'll see. And Derek will yell at you about his top four coming up in just a few minutes right here on Morning Drive. That's right. It's a Tuesday. It's college football season. We've got one more top four Tuesday, so we'll get to that momentarily. A bunch of job openings in the SEC. Tony Barnhart going to join us next hour. We've got a loaded show. Casey Alexander, of course, from Belmont. Mark Hudspeth from Austin Peay as they won the OVC. And, of course, former coach at Louisiana down there. I guess it's not Louisiana Lafayette anymore. You can't call it that. C-Mate's going to join us as well. Pred's back on the ice tonight. So we'll get to our college football conversation here momentarily. But before we do, Derek, I'm turning you into Santa Claus this Christmas. So you are giving away. You're giving
Hustle
away.
Man, what you got?
You're
there?
Giving away free stuff every day on the show.
Absolutely, I'm giving away free tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. UT might be playing. You never know.
There's a good chance.
Exactly. Michigan State might be playing. You never
would
know.
Would you like a Michigan State Tennessee game?
Oh, I would love it. Oh,
all,
I would love it.
Alma mater versus alma mater?
Absolutely. I would love it. Oh, my goodness.
Would we have a bet going?
Definitely we would.
I think right now.
I think it's going to happen.
I think right now I might take Tennessee.
I think it's going to happen. Don't sleep on them Spartans, all right? We bring that Green Nation down here and whoop up on the Orange Nation and go back home.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
No, but you can win some tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium, December 30th, Monday, December 30th. Be the seventh caller.
Whoa.
Seventh
caller.
Yes, seventh.
615-737-1025.
Yes, seven. You close your trench coat now, buddy. Wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah. Y'all want some DVDs? I got DVDs.
I got it all. Gold chains, I got it all.
I got two puppies. You want a puppy? I got a puppy. All right, so it's Tuesday, and it's a top four Tuesday. Give me your warble there, Derek.
We got to wait for a second because, you know, we got to play the music.
Oh.
And I know Munson's
Well, no, he's back there
the
working
phone.
Right now, man.
Yeah, Munson's, you know, his name's Munson now.
Well, the music was college
football. I know,
I already heard the music.
You already heard the music? I was too busy running my mouth.
Yeah.
Giving away tickets, man.
That's a good point. So,
what is it?
There you go.
It's Top 4 Tuesday.
You're such a bozo.
And here we go, people. Typically, our top four sort of kind of mirrors what what the top four will be and should be. But this week, this week and only this week, I'm going to kind of shake it up a little bit. I'm going to shake it up.
Okay.
At number one, I am going Clemson. Clemson has proven all year. I mean, say what you want to say about them.
They haven't beaten anybody in the top 25.
And I know they hadn't beat anybody in the top five.
Hey, you know I love Clemson.
But Clemson, only thing they do is win. The last 2 years, only thing they've done is win. Dabo Swinney, only thing he's done is win ball games.
Trevor Lawrence is 23
Trevor Lawrence is just, he's just unbelievable. That receiving core is unbelievable. They don't get as much notoriety as LSU's and Alabama's receiving core, but, you know, Higgins and...
dude, they're all NFL players.
Those guys, all of them are 6'2", 6'3". They're big frame guys. They
Frisbee,
go up and get the ball.
Catching dogs.
Exactly. They just, they do what they do. And because the ACC is not strong this year, Clemson sort of gets left out a lot of it. But I think if you matched them up against any team in the top four, they would either beat them or it would be a very, very tight game. Their defense is underrated too, Clemson.
I think based on resume, it's really hard to make the case for Clemson at number one. But if you ask me right now to pick a team to win the whole thing,
Clemson,
I would pick Clemson.
So I'm going Clemson 1, LSU 2, Ohio State 3, and Georgia 4. My fifth team is Oklahoma, and then Baylor in Utah. Now,
I think Utah
Oklahoma,
Baylor.
Baylor will have to play. Utah, Oregon State. I mean, Oregon will play.
Yep.
So the winners,
Georgia LSU.
You know, Georgia LSU. If only thing, if Georgia wins, they're in. Georgia wins.
No, if Georgia wins, the top
Georgia
four
wins,
is set.
They're in. LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. If Georgia stumbles and doesn't win, then it opens the door for Oklahoma or either Utah. I'm picking Oklahoma because they will play a – Baylor would be higher ranked than Oregon. So if Oklahoma or – to me, if Oklahoma or – the winner between Oklahoma and Baylor – if Georgia stumbles, they should be in.
I don't think Baylor would get in if they win. I think Utah would get in. The question, the
even
most,
if they lose,
the most important thing to watch.
Well, if
tonight,
they lose, they're,
if they
not
lose,
in.
They're out. Yeah, the most important thing to watch tonight is Oklahoma versus Utah. What does the committee do? Because Oklahoma just beat an Oklahoma State team on the road who was ranked. Oklahoma has 3 wins over top 25 teams, and Utah has none. The best team Utah has played is USC, and they lost. So the arguments about, oh, the best teams Alabama's played, they lost to. You could say the same thing about Utah. They do not have a single top 25 win on their resume. They are very, very good. That just because your resume is bad, see Clemson, doesn't mean you're a bad football team. I would have LSU 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3. And I know Ohio State fans are losing their minds right now. Listen to both of us put Ohio State at 3. I don't think there's a difference between 1, 2, and 3.
No.
I think if you told me Ohio State's 1, I'm fine with that. If you told me LSU's 1, I got no problems with that. I actually don't have an issue with Clemson being 1, although it's harder to make the case for them at number 1 because they don't have the wins. But you talk about pick a team to win a game. Give me Clemson walking out of that tunnel on the national title stage. You can have whoever you want, and I'm going to feel good about it. So I like Clemson a lot. And I think they are underrated even at 3, which is hard to do. Georgia is, I think, a clear 4. I have Oklahoma at 5 as well, and I have Utah at 6. I think the number one thing to watch tonight is Oklahoma versus Utah. Because if Georgia does lose and LSU beats them, by the way, I think it was a 7.5-point spread, LSU favored by 7.5. If LSU wins that game, LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson are in. The battle for the 4th spot comes down to Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor. The winner of the Big 12 title game versus Utah, should they win. So keep an eye on what happens tonight in the rankings. If Utah is ahead of Oklahoma and then they beat Oregon, it's going to be hard for Oklahoma to jump them. If Oklahoma is ahead of Utah, and then they beat Baylor, it's going to be hard for Utah to jump them. So it's almost about where they rank those two teams
so
tonight.
So if the committee says, okay, we're going to rank Oklahoma 5th, Utah 6th, Baylor 7th, And then Oregon will be
whatever, like 12 or 10, something.
12
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
I still believe that if Oklahoma, I mean, if Baylor beats redeems themselves and beats Oklahoma, I think they should be in.
Over Utah?
Because they would have to avenge their loss against a top five team.
I could see the case. The problem is the committee's resume view of Baylor is not very high. They don't have a good non-conference schedule at all, but neither does Utah. Uh-huh. I just think Utah has been far more dominant. Like, they're winning games like 38-7. Like, their defense is so dominant right now statistically that Utah, that's why the committee has given Utah a lot of love, in my opinion. And everybody in the Pac-12 is going, why isn't Utah getting more love? Dude, the committee, the resume for Utah is not even worthy of being in the conversation. But because they are so good, so dominant on the scoreboard every week, much like Clemson, the difference between Clemson and Utah is that Clemson hasn't lost.
But here's the thing.
Utah lost the game. Otherwise, their resumes are basically the same.
You're right. But here's a team in Baylor who's beat K-State. They beat
on the road,
Oklahoma.
They beat K-State.
They beat K-State at K-State. That's a hard place to play at. They beat Oklahoma State.
Yep, same thing, yep.
They beat Texas, which Texas had fallen off a little bit, but their only loss was to Oklahoma, and that was a close game. If they then come back and avenge that loss...
I get it, man.
I think Baylor should be in. Granted their schedule, but like you said, Utah's schedule is no better.
Right, I just think Utah's the better team, which I know is like this weird, nebulous, vague way to explain things now, because now you get into the committee room, and at the end of the day, you have two teams sitting there. You've argued about every single possible statistic and resume and... you know, all this stuff, and you get caught in a cul-de-sac. Eventually, 13 people are going to sit down and look at two teams and go, I think that one's better.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at Utah and Baylor, it's not even close. Like, Utah's better. Now, Oklahoma versus Utah is basically dead even. And that's why I'm fascinated by what happens tonight, because if they put Oklahoma ahead and then Oklahoma beats Baylor, I don't know how they fall. The other thing to watch tonight is who is number one, because should Georgia lose and not get in, the point spread on the 1-4 game will be significantly different than the point spread on the 2-3 game. If you are number two and you got to play Clemson in the first round versus being number one and having to play Utah or Oklahoma, that's a huge difference.
That's why people are, they want to get that number one seed.
This is the most important year I can think of to be number one.
Yeah.
Like, the difference between 1 and 2 hasn't really mattered much.
Mm-hmm.
Because
this is the year.
This is the year I think the difference between 1 and 2 is huge.
That's
you
why
need to be that
that's
one
why
seed
Ohio LSU. State team, Ohio State fans and LSU fans are
screaming about it
because they don't want to have to face Clemson, who will be 3. They don't want to have to face Clemson in the first round.
Clemson would be favored right now.
Yeah.
I think if it was Ohio State Clemson 2-3, I think Clemson is favored. LSU Clemson
be close.
I think LSU would be a slight favorite.
Yeah.
But Clemson is so people are just overlooking them.
Oh, yeah, because of their conference,
doing,
and they've done it quietly, and, you know, we hadn't been watching Clemson, and, you know, they hadn't had any really close games other than North Carolina, and, you know, people predicted, okay, Clemson will, I mean, this is another team that's going to find themselves in the playoffs, so be it. But they're still a good team. That's still a team that you don't want to face, because I think if they had LSU schedule, they still would be undefeated right now.
I 100% agree. They're number 2 in the nation in total defense, yards per play efficiency, and they're number 4 in the nation in offense. They're the only team in the country that is in the top 5 in both categories. They are elite on defense. They are elite on offense. They have a quarterback who's literally never lost a game. Mm-hmm. He's 23-0. They've won, 27 consecutive games? I'm not suggesting that what they did last year should factor into this year. It's about this year's resume, but they're just destroying people.
But, man,
they're crushing
people.
They
hadn't lost a game in 2 years.
All I know, you give me Clemson in the national title game, you can have whoever you want, and I'm going to feel pretty good about it. That's all.
I'm not going to argue that.
Job openings in the SEC, Missouri, Ole Miss, Arkansas, all available. How good are these jobs? Who are some candidates? And how good are they relative to Tennessee? We'll kick that around a little bit when we return right here on Morning Drive. It is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, and school supplies will be accepted right now at our studios here, 102.5 The Game Studios, at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville, right out here by the airport. Donations will benefit our kids. That's our charity of choice here in the morning for toys. Obviously, winter clothing will go to the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation will be the recipient of all the school supplies. So I think Really proud of what we're doing here, of course, at the station. Donate tomorrow at Sudden Service Convenience Store, located at 6029 Nolensville Pike in Nashville between 6 and 10 a.m. That's, of course, we'll take all the different donations. Again, toys, winter clothing, or school supplies. Three great causes, all three of them sort of near and dear to our heart. I know Darren, Donick, and Chase do a lot of stuff with the homeless. I know Jared's really passionate about the kids' supplies and school stuff. And then obviously I'm on the board at Our Kids, so we do appreciate any and every and all giving. So listen, we're going to give away a Preds Winter Classic jersey. Also, for more information, visit thegamenashville.com and check out the Game Nashville app, 102.5 The Game. Season of Giving brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Stores, of course, all over the mid-state area there. So really proud of that stuff. So toys, winter clothing, and school supplies. If you want to bring that by the station or pop by Sudden Service tomorrow, we would appreciate it. I know a lot of needy kids and families and people around the city of Nashville will be thankful for it. Missouri Open. Barry Odom fired. Matt Luke fired. We did not talk about this yesterday, but Elijah Moore's dog impersonation on the game-tying touchdown actually cost Matt Luke his job. I think, in fact, if he doesn't do that and Mississippi Ole Miss wins that game, you could argue Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State was going to get fired. You could argue that Elijah Moore's he did his best Odell Beckham impersonation where he did the whole lift the leg like a dog to pee on the fire hydrant thing.
Yeah.
And then it cost his team the extra point, and they lost the game on Thursday night in the Egg Bowl. That cost Matt Luke his job. Matt Luke, the head coach at Ole Miss, has been fired, and we know Chad Morris has been fired. The question is, how good are these jobs? I think in the SEC East, and sort of comparing it to Tennessee, part of the reason I still think Tennessee is an elite program that can win a national title is that I look at Missouri, Arkansas, and Ole Miss, and Tennessee has more of everything than all three of those jobs. I would put Missouri at sixth in the West. Missouri does not produce a lot of talent. They've had some really bizarre issues they've had to deal with. They had the whole academics fraud thing this year. They had the racial protests a couple years ago. Gary Pinkel had to retire because of cancer. It's just really bizarre, weird situations for Missouri. I think Kentucky's got a better recruiting base with Ohio right there. I think South Carolina's got a better recruiting base and better fans, more money, more support. I think you could argue Vandy's the toughest job in the East. I think you could argue Missouri's number six.
I wouldn't argue that.
Would you rather coach at Kentucky or Missouri? Football.
I mean, the way Kentucky's trending, I'm taking a Kentucky job. I'm not taking Missouri.
Those fans are pretty good.
They've been through too much outside of football that they got to kind of work through as a program. To me, Kentucky, because of Stoops and the way he's been able to recruit. I think they've committed to that program, that football program.
It's an underrated fan base.
Exactly.
And they have a lot of money.
Absolutely. So if I'm taking a job, it would be Stoops ain't going nowhere, I don't think.
No, he's not.
Yeah. So if I'm taking a job and that job was open, I'm taking a Kentucky job before I take Missouri or Arkansas, for that matter.
And to me.
I take it before I take Mississippi.
I think Ole Miss is a better job than Missouri, but the division is so much tougher right now. You've got a better path to a bowl game in the East than you do in the West. Like, Arkansas is a really good job. 70-plus thousand people go to those games. They've got facilities. They did a $160 million facility upgrade. They're close to Texas. They can recruit Texas. Arkansas is not a great state for talent, but it's better than Kentucky, and it's better than Missouri. Arkansas is an intriguing job to me. They won national titles in the 60s. They have some history. Ole Miss is a tougher gig. I would take Arkansas over all three of them. But Tennessee, I think, is better than all of them.
Well, yes. I think the Tennessee just has the history. So taking Tennessee out of it, just think, because there was Lane Kiffin to Arkansas. Just think Lane Kiffin to Missouri or Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss.
See, Lane Kiffin to Missouri doesn't feel as sexy to me. I don't know why.
Oh, and Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I think that feels sexy. Does. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Ole Miss, I just want Lane Kiffin in the West.
Yeah.
I just want him in the West. Not because I think he's great and he's going to dominate in the East or something. I just think Lane Kiffin at Missouri, he feels wasted at Missouri. That's kind of a shot at Missouri, and I don't mean it to be, but it just doesn't feel.
You can't get the full impact of Lane.
They belong
Kiffin
in the Big Ten, Missouri.
In Missouri.
Missouri's like an academic school.
They belong somewhere else in the Ivy League.
I think Lane Kiffin at Arkansas, which there were some rumors floating yesterday around the internet. It turns out they were sort of fake, but Lane Kiffin is absolutely interested in getting a bigger job than FIU, and Arkansas is a great job relative to where Lane Kiffin's career has taken him. Ole Miss is a pretty good job, too. It's just tough. Like, I would have Mississippi State as the toughest job in the West. Mm-hmm. I then would put Ole Miss at sixth, and I'd put Arkansas at fifth. Either way, Missouri, Arkansas, Ole Miss, these are tough jobs, but you can make a fortune. You're going to make $3 or $4 million coaching at these places, and Missouri's been to the SEC championship game twice. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss has never been. Arkansas's been, I think, three times. So you can win at these places, and it's another example of why I do not understand why people around the country view Tennessee a certain way. Mm-hmm. And people around the country view Tennessee, fans do, as this afterthought joke of a program. Like, just because they've hired bad coaches doesn't make Tennessee a bad program. Now, there's some decision makers in Knoxville as far as boosters and ADs and presidents go that have made bad decisions, and no program is immune to that. But Tennessee has elite-level resources, elite-level dollars, elite-level fan support. The recruiting base is far better than people realize. The idea that Tennessee cannot compete for SEC championships with the right coach is stupid to me, because I look at Missouri and Arkansas and Ole Miss and I say, those are the jobs where you can't compete. Those are the jobs that have won zero SEC championships and cannot compete with the Alabamas, Auburns, A&Ms, Georgias, Floridas. Tennessee has all the stuff to compete with those programs. That's why I don't understand people around the country looking at Tennessee and saying, I think they're done. I think they've taken a step back. I think it's just hiring bad people. If you hire bad coaches, you're going to lose games.
Yeah, you do. But I'm looking those jobs that you mentioned. Clearly, UT, I would take that job before I take any of the other three.
Not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close. I think Tennessee's committed to their program. They just got to get their program back rolling. And it seems like they have trended. They're trending now in the right direction. But, I mean, Kentucky. Yeah, they have the right now, when looking at the ESPN's top whatever 40, they are the 27th ranked team, but that makes them what, 10th in the SEC?
Recruiting.
I think that makes them 10th or 11th in the SEC. And you're right, just like we talked about UT. Yes, you are high in the rankings, but you're still behind like seven SEC teams.
Right.
And that's Kentucky. Yes, you're high. From nationally. A national standpoint, but within your conference, you are still the 10th best recruiting class.
Right. On any given Saturday, is Kentucky going to be more talented, quote-unquote, than its opponent normally in the SEC? And the answer is no.
Exactly. And they're going to have to need, like they have had the last couple of years, these guys that were, you know, three-star athletes. They need to play like five
Josh
stars
Allen's
once they get there. Yeah. And Stoops has done a good job at getting those guys to plan.
Now,
but they got to find a... How does the quarterback situation look at Kentucky? And Stoops is not going anywhere. But I'm just saying, if that job was available, you would have to look at how does my quarterback situation look moving forward.
Well, in Missouri, you know, Kelly Bryant's gone.
He's gone. Yeah.
Ole Miss, you've got a nice quarterback situation with John Rhys Plumlee and Matt Corral both there. Mm-hmm. Both of them made plays, by the way, in the Egg Bowl. So they're both in good shape. Chad Morris has started to reshape the roster at Arkansas before he got aced. I think you need to do things differently at those programs. Uh-huh. I don't think you can try to do what the big boys do in the SEC. This is why I don't like Derek Mason's philosophy at Vanderbilt. I think that there needs to be you have to try something. Like, if everyone else in the SEC is zigging, you've got to zag. I know it's a cliche.
But what else can... what else can he...
Triple option, do something. Spread.
Oh, you're saying as far as their...
So, like, Arkansas... Okay. Like, Ole Miss has got a quarterback now that ran for 1,000 yards.
Uh-huh.
They're running Rich Rodriguez's system. That zone read is something different. You're going to recruit different players, and you're doing something differently than Alabama and Auburn
because
and A&M.
Because that causes you to beat the teams you should beat out of conference.
Exactly. And it gives you a better chance to win swing games in the SEC. Uh-huh. Like, if you're Tennessee, I'm okay with the Jeremy Pruitt-Jim Chaney combination because the idea is to recruit the same level athlete as Florida and Georgia. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then you can compete with them in the trenches and you can play their game, the big boy game. I don't think you can do that at Vanderbilt. And frankly, Kentucky has been amazing that they've been able to do what they've been able to do. But look what they did this year. The reason they won some games late in the year.
Because they did it different.
They became a triple option team.
Yeah.
With they threw the ball like four times a game. They were like a service academy at Kentucky mm-hmm. in the last month of the season. So I think at Missouri and Arkansas and Ole Miss, you got to do things differently. I think Mike Norvell at Memphis is going to be a top candidate for all three of those jobs. I don't know, and this is all I can say about this, but I don't know if Mike Norvell will clear the vetting process for a lot of these stuff. There is some baggage there that people are scared of. It's why he has not gotten a job before. That's basically all I can say on that. Lane Kiffin, we know the baggage on Lane Kiffin, but we know he's a brilliant offensive mind. He's going to be in the mix for a lot of these jobs.
I'm telling you, I am going after Joe Brady.
If
USC comes open, anybody, I'm going after Joe Brady.
You might as well try it. Now, can he recruit? What does his voice sound like? I don't know. No one's ever heard him talk. Literally, I think Bruce Feldman did an interview with him this year, like midway through the season, and he was like a wide receiver at some small D3 school. And literally, I've never done an interview before. Like, no one's ever interviewed me. I'm responsible for Drew Brees' offense and now probably a Heisman Trophy at LSU, and mm-hmm. no one's ever heard him talk.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So I don't know if he's ready for a head coach in the SEC.
you hear him talking like, hey, hey guys. No, we can't hire you.
I think coaching would be more interesting with Mike Norvell and Lane Kiffin in the league. I just don't know if either one of those two names is going to happen. From what I'm hearing, I don't know.
Make it interesting for us. Hire both.
Kiffy Cakes would be great at Ole Miss or Arkansas. I'd be all for that. Man. Think Nick Saban would lay awake at night, be scared of Arkansas's offense, Marquise? What do you think?
No.
In a word?
I don't think Nick Saban cares about anything outside of...
Yeah, that's probably true.
His team, yeah.
Outside of Alabama, I don't think Nick Saban...
The officials are unfair, though.
And his lake house.
The officials are unfair. He does like his boats. The Eagles and oatmeal cream pies.
I'm going to find a way to...
And the Yanks.
I'm going to find a way to hang out at his house this summer.
Can I come with you?
Yeah, if I can hang out.
Can I just invite myself to all the stuff?
Hang out? Absolutely.
I'll be in town. So I'll definitely stop by. Yeah, I'll be... It's like Tuscaloosa. I'll stop by.
All right, Pred's back on the ice. So, again, we'll keep an eye on Missouri, Arkansas, Ole Miss. All three fascinating coaching searches. Tough jobs to win at, but SEC jobs have prestige and they make a lot of money. So we'll see what happens with those three jobs as the coaching carousel moves along. We'll see if there's any more openings moving along as well. However, the Preds are back on the ice tonight. Who will start in net? That appears to be the big decision moving forward for Peter Laviolette. We'll discuss Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Little Arcade Fire there for you. Love that. That's good working music, good workout music, good interstate music. Good Arcade Fire there. I like that, Munson. Good work there. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville Live featuring special guests. Of course, they're not listed here on this piece of paper, guys. But I know that it's Ryan Ellis and Austin Watson.
They'll be
hosting, of course, down with Hal Gill. It's Cool Springs at Brewhouse South tomorrow at 7 p.m. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. This Wednesday night, Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Preds back on the ice tonight against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay struggling right now, and we will give away a couple of tickets to that game coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We've got two tickets, I believe, right, Munson, for the Lightning-Preds matchup tonight at Bridgestone Arena, pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. We will give those away, I would say, right around 9:08. I'm going to say 9:08.
Just tune in to the 9 o'clock hour.
So just be listening in the last hour of the show.
Be listening, which we know you guys all do. So UC Saros and Pekka Rinne. We can get into the stats and the numbers and how many games people have started. UC Saros started three straight games, and Pekka Rinne was healthy. That's the first time that that's happened, according to Elias Sports Bureau, since Pekka Rinne was a rookie, where he was healthy and dressed and did not play in three straight games. UC Saros took over. He has played very well in his last eight starts. Pekka was pulled 3 out of 4 games. I don't think that we're in controversy territory. I don't think that's the right phrase. I think you need both goaltenders in the NHL to be good. First of all, does it matter who the starter is today? And number two, is there a way that this is a good thing, that both of these guys will push each other and make each other better because they have such a great relationship?
I think it's always been a, one has made iron sharpen iron. Iron sharpens iron. I think it's always been that way with UC and Pekka. I think UC plays well because Pekka plays well. I think, he learns from Pekka. He's not the sort of prototypical goalie that Pekka is. Meaning, you know, Pekka's 6'5" and long wingspan. He's shorter than Pekka. I think he's what, 6'1", 6'2", somewhere around there.
Yeah, he might even be smaller than that.
So he's not the prototypical goalie, but I think he does learn from Pekka. I think they challenge and they compete, a healthy competition between the two. I think they got a, you know, it's like a backup quarterback and starting quarterback. They have a good relationship, but
I feel like it's more like a pitching ace.
Yeah,
it's more like a one and two punch, like Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander. When you're the Astros and you've got those two guys, or the Nationals with Strasburg and Scherzer, like you have to have two guys.
Exactly. You got in the hockey, you have to have two goalies because your main guy needs to rest. But
is this a controversy?
I think it's
a goalie controversy.
I think it's sort of, because if Peter is saying, I just want to do what's necessary to win, and that's been his thing with Torres, I'm just putting the guys in there that's going to help me win. Well, Pekka hasn't been playing well. So you throw UC in there, and UC has been playing well. So whatever gives the Nashville Predators the best opportunity to win, based upon what he has said, he's going to do. And I think it is sort of – is it a controversy? No, it's not a controversy. You knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time.
We've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. UC has earned the right to potentially be a starter one day in this organization, and he will be. And it might be starting now. We knew it was going to come.
It's fascinating.
Not to say he will get more stars over Pekka in the playoffs if they make it.
That's where
I'm
saying. That's where
but
I think he's need to have
earned,
it out.
But he's earned that right. And I think you're starting this. You're going to start to see UC play more and more.
So,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not.
Winning.
I do not think the word controversy is even relevant here. I think Peter Laviolette is going to play the guy he thinks he gives the best chance to win every night. And right now, it's okay to go back and forth. Right now, at the start of the year, Pekka got a lot of starts because he was 8-0-2 or whatever. Had the greatest start of like any goaltender ever for his age. Would have been the Vezina front runner at the time. And then he started struggling, and UC was playing better. UC struggled early, and now he's playing better. And Saros has gotten the starts. In his last 8 starts, UC Saros had 220 goals against average with a .920 save percentage. Those are really good numbers over his last 8 starts, not the relief stuff he's done where he came in. Now, Pekka was brilliant on Friday against Carolina, where, frankly, the Predators were outskated in most of that game. But Pekka was great, picked up his 350th win, and sort of saved the day in that game, which was vintage Pekka, after being, you know, pulled from the game 3 out of his previous 4 starts. So to me, I don't really care who Peter Laviolette puts out there right now, because I think it makes both of them better to know that they have a great relationship and they are going to push each other to be great every single night. I think it's good for the team right now, today. My concern is having it worked out by the time March rolls around. Mm-hmm. When you've got 20 games to go in the season, don't you need to have a guy who is settled in as the guy that you're going into game one of the playoffs, assuming you make the playoffs, that you have, you know that it's Pekka's job, or that you know that it's UC Saros' job? Do you need to have a guy that time of the year?
I think you do. I think you need to go into the playoffs. It's like, you know, like you brought up baseball. You need to know what your rotation is going into the playoffs. You need to know you got a number one, you got a number two, and then, you know, your number three. You know your rotation. I don't think you go into a playoffs trying to figure out then what is my rotation going to be. If you do that, then you're in trouble. With the Nashville Predators, I think heading into the playoffs, they need to know who their number one goalie is moving forward into the playoffs, whether it's Pecorine and UC can come off the bench, or whether it's UC and Pecorine comes off the bench. They need to figure that out.
And we've seen teams win cups with multiple goaltenders.
Yeah, we've seen it.
The Blackhawks did it, I think, when Corey Crawford got injured. The Penguins beat the Predators, frankly, with two different guys over the course of those 4 series that the Penguins won their cup when they played Nashville. So it's not what you want. What you want is one guy who's hot, who plays every single game, and is just giving you a chance to win every night. That's what you want. And there's a good chance that one of those two guys becomes that. What's really weird to say out loud, though, is that UC Saros, there's probably a better chance that UC Saros is playing that level every single night in the playoffs than Pekka, because say whatever you want about Pekka's career. He's maybe a Hall of Famer. But his postseason inconsistencies are always going to be a thing that comes up. Now, tonight against Tampa Bay, again, I think at this point of the year in December, it's not really that important who plays. I think you just play the guy who's the hot hand and who gives you the best chance to win. Interestingly enough, these two goaltenders are undefeated on their career against Tampa Bay. Pekka Rinne 9-0-1 against Tampa Bay. That's pretty good. UC Saros 2-0-1 against Tampa Bay. Neither one of these two goaltenders has ever lost in regulation to Tampa Bay, so it'll be interesting to see who he goes with tonight after seeing mixed results from both guys over the last few days.
But you look at both of them. Pekka this season has had three shutouts. His save percentage is a tad bit higher. They're both 89, but one's 89.8.
Neither one of them is good overall.
But, you know, Pekka is giving up less goals against. Pekka's giving up just over, just right below three, and UC is giving up three goals. You know, it's semantics. It's a high two
but again,
and
how
a low
it's
three.
Happened,
it doesn't really matter. Who's playing better now?
And UC Saros is playing better now. Yeah. But Pekka's coming off one of his better showings of the season. So it's a tough decision. I think right now it's a good problem to have. Both guys will push each other. We've talked about their relationship. I think you do want it to be a little bit more established as a 1-2 pecking order when you get to March and April. It doesn't mean you can't make a switch in the postseason. Mm-hmm. We've seen teams do it. But, you know, I don't think we're at the point where this is the transition to UC Saros, but it's getting closer, folks. Father Time will catch up to Pekka Rinne at some point. There's just no question about it because Father Time is undefeated, right? He's never lost. Morning Drive when we come back. We'll switch gears, go a little hoops. Casey Alexander going to join us, Belmont head basketball coach right here on Morning Drive.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.